right. Well, it's good to be with y'all this morning. Pleasure to be back at New Hope. Now then, I can't say that honestly at many other churches, okay? It ain't always like that, but I really am glad to be back here. It's always a blessing to be here. Good spirit in here and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad to hear that y'all got a pastor. That's wonderful. We've been praying for y'all about that. I'm glad it's the Lord saw fit to give you a man. If you would, we'll begin in Psalm 119 this morning, Psalm 119, 165, and we'll do a little bit of flipping. All right, Psalm 119, 165. The Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." All right, now then, if you look up the word offend in the dictionary, it means to disturb, annoy, or cause to fall out or stumble. Well, the Bible just said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." How many today, and I ain't necessarily saying here, but just as a whole, don't love the Word of God no more, right? But you'll find everybody, if I were to take a poll and we were to go into every church and you say, "If you love the Word of God, would you raise your hand?" Well, no one in their right mind would keep their hand down, right? Everybody would say, "Oh yeah, I love the Bible. Praise God, glory to God, yeah. King James 1611, yeah." But then once you get to preaching it and you get to teaching it and you come down to some sound doctrine, you find out just how much or how little someone actually loves the Word of God. And then when they wind up offended, you can come back to this verse and say, "Well, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So they're offended at the fact that they don't love the book, right? So for just a little while this morning for Sunday school, and y'all bear with me, we're going to do a little overlap between Sunday school and preaching, but we're going to go over sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Now then, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, we find the command to teach and preach sound doctrine. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." All right, so Paul reached out to Titus. Titus was a young pastor. And he said, "Hey, you speak that which becomes sound doctrine. You talk about it. You preach about it. You sing about it. If it's sound doctrine, go over it." Right? There was a command there. He said, "Hey, don't ignore sound doctrine." Too often today, buddy, sound doctrine just gets flat out abused. Don't nobody care nothing about it. They don't care to hear it. They don't care to see it. They don't care to know that the church down the road is practicing it. They'll get offended by it. Well, there's a command to do it, though. There's a command to be in sound doctrine. Look at here. Sound doctrine, it goes much further than just than eternal security, right? Anytime if I were to get up, I believe, and I could be wrong, in any Baptist church in America, and you say, "Give me some Baptist doctrine. Give me Bible doctrine." First thing they're going to say is eternal security. Glory to God, we're eternally secure. But you know there's a whole lot more to it than just eternal security. I mean, glory to God, I ain't going to hell. I ain't ever got to worry about it. I ain't knocking it. Understand that. But sound doctrine is much deeper than that. And we've been commanded to teach and preach it. Now then, whenever he gave us that command, you've also got to realize that there's going to be times that people ain't too fond of the command, right? You get up and you preach on this King James Bible, there's going to be people who buck it. They'll say, "Oh, well, you know, the Greek text is the originals and they supersede the English and all this other stuff," right? I believe I told y'all, most of you, the last time I was here, I was enrolled in Bible College through Crown College in Powell, Tennessee. And I had to do a thesis for my last class. And I done it on the King James Bible. Now then, if you read the statement of faith by the college, they say they are King James Bible believers. But that's pretty self-explanatory, right? They are. But I wound up with a professor that slipped through the cracks. Okay? And I done my thesis on the King James Bible, why it is the Word of God, why it was how the Lord preserved it and how it was inerrant, without fault, without error, right? Went over all that. And I got to busting on the New King James Bible. I said, look, over in Acts chapter 4:29, it attacks the deity of Christ, because instead of holy child Jesus, it changes it to holy servant. And then over here in the New King James, it says this, and over here it says that. Said they claim that it comes from the Textus Receptus, yet it continues to use the Alexandrian text and all this different stuff. The professor come back and said, New King James is derived from Textus Receptus. Only the language has been updated. And I was like, well, buddy, you just got, like, I mean, I ain't telling you, I ain't got a doctorate degree. I know you're smarter than me up here. But it don't take a whole lot of sense to be able to just look at it word for word, side by side, and determine, you know what, something's wrong with this one. And it don't matter if it come from the original Greek or not. It ain't this, right? My goodness, man, a third grader can pick this up and read it and understand it. I think I was in the fifth grade when I first started reading my Bible, right, practicing to read my Bible, right? Every day I'd go in there and I'd read it, and I picked it up and I went to Matthew, and I didn't have no issues understanding what it said, right? In the fifth grade, didn't have to worry about it. When we were over at a church a while back, I was the interim pastor there for a little while, and Brittany was teaching Bible school. There's this little boy in there, and she took King James Bible, and she went through the gospel, how Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again, right? And that she went through all the things that the Lord suffered just for us. Little boy got born again right there. We went and got him a King James Bible and give it to him, right? I saw his mama the other day, and she said that his whole reading has improved because he's been reading his Bible. Now, what about that? A little boy, a little 10, 12-year-old boy picks up a King James Bible and his whole reading level jumps because he's reading this book. Man, that screams something, don't it? You can pick up an NIV and be lost as a goose in a horse race after just a few minutes. It's already just contradicted itself 10 times, left out 15 verses in the first chapter you read, and then leaves out the blood and uses big old giant words only a collegiate could understand, and half of them don't. And you got this book right here that's just plain and simple for plain and simple folks, right? You think the Lord can't talk to plain and simple folks? He done it right here with this book, right? But people don't like it when you talk about it, when you preach about it. You get up and you preach on this King James Bible, you're going to make somebody mad. It's just the rule, man. It don't matter where you're at. You can be in a King James Bible-believing, boot-wearing Baptist church, right? You get to preaching on this King James, and there's going to be somebody in the congregation, though it's been King James from day one, that's going to say, well, I just don't believe that. I mean, my goodness. I think I harped on the King James more than anything else while I was over there, and there were still some people that used everything under the sun and refused to use anything else. He got up. I didn't know he was teaching Sunday school or Wednesday night one night, and he got up, and they knew where I stood on it, and he began to read in the King James. He took his King James up there with him, but then he'd say, well, I don't like that word, so I replaced it with. It's like, oh, man, my blood pressure done shot up above my head. My ears had turned red. And I'm sitting there thinking, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You can't hit him with the binding, okay? You can't knock his teeth out. That might be contrary to good order in the church right now. You know, well, just wait a minute, and you can correct it later, right? It'll drive you nuts that people won't pay attention to it, but it's good doctrine. And that's why they don't. Eternal security, same thing. You were given a command to teach it. There will be folks out there that say, well, I just don't see how you can be saved forever. Oh, that so-and-so over yonder, he used to be saved. No, he either was or he ain't. One of the two, right? I mean, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. Now, again, to your point, you take the Bible. It's not like it's my opinion or your opinion, right? We say, hey, the Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. You ain't got to worry about it. He said that we've been redeemed. We were purchased. But what you purchase, you don't just throw it away, right? You can use some common sense in there, and then you can use the Bible. I mean, it even goes as far as to say, if we deny Him, yet He cannot deny Himself. I can jump down from here this morning, give up, and walk out the door and say, I'll never speak in His name again. I'm never walking back in a church, and I don't even believe He exists no more. But because I got saved when I was 7 years old, I'm saved and sealed to the day of redemption. Ain't nothing can change about that. Judgment seat of Christ is going to be bad for me, but I ain't got to worry about going to hell no more. Right? And I can even say there is no hell. Well, it don't matter. I ain't going. Right? I'm going to have a whole lot to answer for when I get there, but I'm still just as saved because I'm in His body and He can't deny Himself. Right? All right, going forward, because I ain't got a whole lot of time. All right, so we find there's the command to speak and to preach sound doctrine, right? Then we find the convincing. Over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. All right, so we're told to convince with sound doctrine. Now then, you don't convince somebody by saying, well, what I think is and what they think is this. Look here, it don't matter what I think or what you think. What does the Word of God say? If the Word of God says it, then it is so. Okay? You take this Bible, and I ain't saying that it was perfect, but used to when I'd be trying to soul win, and I knew that they were Roman Catholic or something. And I don't know if you've ever tried to win a Roman Catholic, but it is crazy hard. Okay? It's hard to make them understand that you're different. It's hard to make them understand that they're trusting in something beside the blood of Jesus Christ. All that stuff. I'd walk up and I'd say, hey, how do you believe you go to heaven? And they'd tell me. They'd be like, oh, well, you know, be good to your neighbor, take the Mass, and you know, the golden rule. And I'd say, oh, okay. I'd say, well, I believe the Bible. And the Bible says. Now then, you got a whole different something, because I ain't talking about what I believe, but rather what God said in His book. And if you ask them, do you believe the Bible, they'd have to say yes. Right? Well, yeah, we believe the Bible. We use the Bible. Okay, then, well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way you're going to convince the gainsayer is through the Word of God and through sound doctrine. You can go and you can cherry pick some verses, and I can come in here and cherry pick and convince you that you're going to lose your salvation and die and burn in hell for the rest of your life. Right? Or I can come in here with sound doctrine and I can show you how you can know for sure that you're never going to have to suffer in hell if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right? And that you're never going to lose it. I can come in here and I can teach you the adoption and I can say, well, you get adopted if... Or I can come in here and I can say, hey, the Bible says that we were our adopted sons, right? We've got over here in 1 John chapter 2, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Over somewhere else it talks about how we are predestined to the adoption of sons, right? Now then, I can take that and I can twist it up and I can make you believe that you were predestined to either go to heaven or go to hell, and that you ain't got no choice in the matter, but you just in one camp or the other. And it's a roll of the dice. Buddy, I'm going to heaven, Brittany's going to hell, and Brother Randy's going to hell too. I'm the only one that made it in this room because of God's sovereign picking, right? I can do that by cherry picking, or by sound doctrine. I can go back and say, no, look at the verse. It says we were predestined to the adoption, right? You got saved, and when you got saved, you were predestined to some things after salvation. He didn't just go through time and say, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, I'm going to keep them. And that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, I'm going to send to hell just because I like to watch them burn, right? That's not how it went. And if you're going to win these folks, you're going to convince them through sound doctrine. It also says to exhort by sound doctrine, right? I don't know about y'all, but there have been some times, it seems to me like I believe I'm a fairly tough fella. When I was in the Navy, I could tell you stories like just you had to embrace it, right? There'd be a hurricane come through, and I'd still be standing post. I'd be standing there and there'd be water up inside my boots, rolling out of it. It's miserable, right? But, I mean, it made me tougher for it. And I can walk around and say, yeah, man, rain, watch rain. It ain't nothing to me. Let it pour, buddy, let it pour. It don't bother me none. I can embrace it. I went camping last year. I got a new job with the state. And in order to save some money and make some per diem, I went camping. My tent leaked the whole time I was there. All my stuff was soaking wet. Was it bad? Yeah. But I was like, man, this ain't nothing. I had to stand in a typhoon in Guam. This is all right. I found the one little spot. There was like a little old corner where the rain wasn't coming in. And I set my stuff up where my head wasn't getting dripped on. My feet were getting wet, but my head wasn't, right? Put all the rest of my stuff in the truck, and I made it. It was all right. I said, man, there ain't nothing to this. When it comes to spiritual things, sometimes that toughness just seems to decline, right? Whenever you get talking to somebody and they just refuse to accept the Word of God for the Word of God, when you come in, you tell them, hey, thus saith the Scriptures, not this is my opinion, but this is the Word of God. And they say, well, I just don't believe that. You just offending too many folks. Buddy, it'll just drive me nuts. But then I can get around some people with some sound doctrine. We ain't got to be talking nothing about what went on, just sound doctrine. And buddy, it's just like I can feel my back straighten out. You know, like glory to God. We were at work the other day. I worked for the fisheries section and for wildlife freshwater fisheries. And we were on the boat, and there was a guy there that I had only met once or twice before. And somehow the conversation come up. They knew I was a preacher. He said, you been preaching? Or how's your church going? I said, well, that didn't work out. He said, and we went on with the conversation. I said, you go to church anywhere? He said, yeah. So when'd you get saved? And he told me, and I said, well, glory to God, he's saved. And then he got to talking about some sound doctrine. Look at here, this joker's in a Southern Baptist church, and he's just, buddy, he's a unicorn. You know what I mean? This joker's one in a million. And he's telling me about all this sound doctrine that he's made folks mad over through the years. And, buddy, I was like, man, let's go get them. Me and you go down there, and we'll straighten them all out, right? Brother, you give me a King James Bible, and you walk in beside me, and we'll just fight hell with a water pistol. Buddy, I was ready to go. So what happened? I got exhorted by sound doctrine. There were some things went on at our church that made somebody mad over sound doctrine. I was just like, wasn't upset to, like, I'm going to quit, but just exasperated. Like, my gosh, man, why can't these people that say they're Bible-believing Christians just accept the Word of God for what it is? And I'm just irritated. Here comes old buddy, don't know nothing about him. All of a sudden, here comes a sound doctrine conversation. And I'm just walking on cloud nine. Been pretty good ever since. Now then, I'll make somebody mad today or next week or whenever, right? And I'll have to go find him again and say, hey, brother, let's talk about some doctrine right quick. Let's talk about why we ain't a Calvinist, you know, or whatever. But you can exhort somebody, and you can be exhorted through sound doctrine. When you're in the world all the time, you have to be in the world, right? You just don't do what the world does. You ain't got no choice to it. You got to go to work. You got to hear people cuss. You got to see them drink beer. You ain't got no choice to all that. But you can get around somebody else that don't. You can get around somebody that knows that they're eternally secure, and they can say, buddy, ain't you glad we ain't going to lose it, because I done lost it today. Because I done thought about telling that fellow on 280 he was number one, right? And you can say, well, glory to God, we ain't going to lose it. And they'll say, man, I done thought about pulling my gun, shooting his tire out. Yeah, well, glory, you didn't do it. Yeah, and at least I wouldn't have went to hell if I did, right? Glory to God. I mean, it might be some cutting up, but still, through that sound doctrine, you've exhorted each other. You get to talking about, man, ain't you glad that wasn't just like you were predestined to hell or predestined to heaven, the Lord showed grace to you, and he come by and he knocked on your door and said, hey, won't you come to me? And then you got up and you went and you got led to the Lord by whoever, and they walked you through the sinner's prayer, and you accepted Christ as your Savior, and you ain't had to worry about it since. But that's some good stuff. We got talking about some of that. He told me his testimony. He said, yeah, I got saved when I was about 10. He said, I couldn't really remember when it was. He said, I called somebody at that church where I got saved, and they were able to go back and look at their records and tell me I was 10 years old. I said, well, what about that? He said, it's just good to hold on to, brother, you know. in case you ever get to doubting on it a little bit. I said, that's some solid stuff right there, buddy. I got some chills talking to him. He didn't know what I believed, and I didn't know him. But, buddy, he got on that eternal security bit, and I said, well, glory to God. Let's go fight hell some more, right? It'll exhort you. It's what it's there for. It's to exhort the brethren and to convince the gainsayers. There's some folks you're like, man, you just can't convince them. But eventually, if you hammer it in hard enough, sometimes they'll come around. There was a fellow at our church now. I didn't even know it, but evidently he didn't believe in eternal security. You couldn't convince him of it. Jared come and preached a revival a while back. He said after the service, the fellow walked up to him and he said, tonight I got it settled about that eternal security stuff. He's like, oh man, what about that? He'd been sitting in there for years. Never would take it. What about it? Glory to God. He's got it now. The gainsayer was convinced. How was he convinced? Through sound doctrine, right? Through rightly dividing the Scriptures, through using the Word of God as it was meant to be used. All right, and then we find the extent of sound doctrine over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 1:10, it says for... let's go to verse 9. Knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. All right, so we find right here the extent of sound doctrine. So again, you remember earlier I said, and I believe it to be so, if I were to go into any random Baptist church and ask them, tell me about your doctrine, what separates you from the rest? They're going to say, well, we believe we're eternally secure. Well, tell me something else. And I don't know if you get anything else out of it, right? But I believe as a whole, they'd say, well, you know, we believe once saved, always saved. Well, glory to God. That is sound doctrine. But it goes much deeper than that. Do you read right there if there's any other thing contrary to sound doctrine? Right? All them other things are contrary to it. So sin is contrary to sound doctrine. So preaching against sin is sound doctrine, right? It is sound doctrine to preach against homosexuality. It ain't popular, but it's sound doctrine. Folks, I have a friend, I guess he's my cousin by marriage, in New Mexico right now. He just started a church. He said that on Sunday nights, or I can't remember when, but he'll have question and answers. They'll read from a passage of Scripture, and then he allows the congregation to ask questions. Someone asked the question, well, what if a homosexual was to walk in here? What do you do? Can they come to church here? To which he responded, anyone is welcome to come hear the gospel preached. He said, anybody. He said, but the second they try to turn my people, they got to go. He said, the second they try to cause trouble, I'm going to run them off. He said, the second they start displaying affection inside this church, they're gone. He said, anybody can come hear the Word of God preached, but you ain't. That don't mean that you're going to take part in fellowship with us, right? And the lady got up and she said, well, I just don't believe that. I believe they have the right to be here just as much as I do. He said, well, no, ma'am, they don't. And she said, well, then I'm going to leave. He said, all right, then. It's nice knowing you, right? Well, how come he do that? Because it's sound doctrine. That's one of the nicest fellas I know. I don't know anybody of a greater example of Christian character than Andrew Unger. You won't meet him. He loves everybody. I mean everybody. It don't even make good sense. He'll be talking great about someone. I'm like, you know he's a wolf, right? Well, I don't know. I think he's just misguided. And I'm like, no, he's a wolf. He goes in, he starts troubling all these churches. Get away from him, Andrew. And he's like, I know. He said, I can't have like good fellowship with him, but I like talking to him. Maybe I can help him. I'm like, oh my gosh, Andrew. No. Andrew loves them, right? Andrew would love to see a homosexual saved, just as I would. But that doesn't mean you allow it to take root in your church. You know what I'm saying? What he said was sound doctrine. He was still hard against it. He said he wasn't going to walk on eggshells and not preach against it just because they were there, right? I'm not going to walk on eggshells and not preach against adultery just because someone from my family shows up that committed adultery. And that happened, right? If they in here and it comes out, well, glory to God, it came out. It's still sin. It's contrary to sound doctrine. Therefore, it's sound for me to preach against it. Right? Sound for me to speak against it, to teach against it. And the same for you. It's sound doctrine for you to speak, teach, and preach against the things that are contrary to sound doctrine. It's just the way it is. We use homosexuality because it's a thing that's become rampant lately. Right? And it's just everywhere. I heard the other day that they're infiltrating Bible-believing Baptist churches. And they'll come in, and they won't let you know that they're that way. They'll join the church. After they've joined, they bring their partner with them. And then when they try to remove their membership and kick them out, they sue the church for everything they're worth. And if you ain't got a statement of faith that condemns such sins, they win. Right? And then they get everything. Well, my goodness. Shouldn't we be preaching and teaching against that? Shouldn't we have it down in writing like, bless God, we again it? You know, we ain't for that junk. Get rid of it. Right? It's sound doctrine. That's all it is. Preaching against lying, sound doctrine. You know there's liars in the church. I saw one yesterday. Oh, boy, looks like a weeble wobble. You know, weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. It's just what he looks like. I swear, I could knock his teeth out. He'd roll back, his head would hit the dirt, and he'd rock right back up. Like one of them old Bonzo punching bags you get as a kid, you know. Old buddy, he would lie about anything. We used to go to church together, and that rascal, he had a squirrel dog, right, because he would go squirrel hunting. He said one time, I ain't making this thing up. It's for real. You can't make such a lie up. He said, old Jack, buddy, the other day he treed a squirrel. It was all the way up top of a 100-foot pine tree. I said, oh, really? Yeah, and old Jack, he dug one paw in right here and one paw in right there, and he climbed to the top of that tree. He grabbed the squirrel in his mouth and jumped back down and gave it to me. You can't make it up. I ain't making this up. I said, my gosh, man. And I just looked at him like, you don't think I'm an idiot, do you? Because I'm not. I've got squirrel dogs, too, and they will climb one if it's got a curve in it and they can walk up it. But they ain't going to dig in one side and dig in the other and make it up 100 foot. They might be able to get up about 10, you know. That's it. And they got to be a big dog to do that. Another time I saw him at the Mexican restaurant, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I even told Brittany, I said, great, here's a weeble wobble. And we go get up to the counter and said, how's it going, man? He said, all right, and I'm just hoping he pays and leaves and don't talk to me. And instead he said, you killed any deer? And I said, I've killed one. I said, but it wasn't nothing to brag about. I said, it was tiny. I said, I didn't know it was that small when I shot it. He said, oh, man, that ain't nothing. I shot one so small the other day, I threw it in my toolbox in the truck. It's like, my gosh, man, you got to lie about how small a deer is. That ain't something you lie about, you know? Look, it's sound doctrine to preach against them fools that go around lying like that. Every one of you probably know a liar about like that. Everyone's met one of them that just lie about ridiculous things. It's just, oh, my gosh. I had another guy tell me one time he was part of the Cahaba Indian Nation. Now then, where he messed up is my stepbrother actually is. Okay, he's half Indian, and he belongs to the Catawba Indian tribe. And he's telling me all this junk, and I mean, he's whiter than I am, right? I mean, those baseboards down there ain't as wide as he is. I mean, but anyway, he said, yeah, I'm part of Catawba Indians. I said, oh, really? I said, where's your papers? Because I know the paperwork process, right? He said, I ain't got no papers. I'm a blood brother. I said, oh, my gosh. You've been watching too much John Wayne, you idiot. You know, that ain't even a thing. Just lying about whatever. It's sound doctrine to preach against that. You say, well, that's just lying. It's still contrary to sound doctrine. It said it right there. It said it twice. It even went on to perjured persons and liars. My goodness, man. It's contrary, and if it's contrary, it's good to preach against it. Kidnapper. Like a kidnapper. You know, they used to go and they'd snatch them up and sell them and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't know any men stealers, but if there's any in here, buddy, you against the will of God. All right? Oh, man, that's funny, though. Y'all not do it, right? Sound doctrine goes a whole lot deeper than what we like to think it is. It goes down to the very sin. You know, it's even sin not to have sound doctrine. What about that? Buddy, you think about that, and buddy, your head will break just thinking about it. My gosh, man, if I'm wrong on this, it's sin. I wouldn't be up here preaching and teaching and getting something if I wasn't 100% sure about it. But there's other folks that I'm 100% sure they're wrong in their doctrine, and therefore they're sinning because they are in bad doctrine. It's the way it is. It goes a lot deeper than we like to think. And then finally we find the error in sound doctrine. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." All right, so right here we find that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I got news for you. The time ain't coming. It's here. Okay? They ain't going to endure it. Now, then, I ain't going to try to get up here and complain all day about what took place. But when I was over there at that church for 6 months, I was preaching and teaching sound doctrine. I believe the Lord, still convinced of it, the Lord wanted me on Sunday morning to preach whatever sermon He gave me. Sunday night, we went over Baptist distinctives and sound doctrine, whatever that might be, right? On Wednesday nights, we went verse by verse through Ephesians. So I wasn't parking at any certain place, okay? Let me just make that one clear. Well, evidently, I made the world mad because I got to preaching against speaking in tongues, teaching against it, right? All this other stuff. Called them babblers because that's what it is. If you're speaking in tongues, you're just babbling. You ain't saying nothing that makes any good sense. And Paul said, "I'd rather speak 10 words in understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Right? Glory to God. Amen. That's good. Right? I mean, my goodness. Well, I made them mad. Well, I think I made one person mad, but over there in the parable of the sower, it says, "And that which fell on the stony ground is them that received the word with gladness, but when persecution and affliction arose for the word's sake, immediately they were offended." Well, immediately they got offended, right? Because affliction arose for the word's sake. All it was tongues. Went in there and I told them what other denominations believed. I didn't call them stupid. When I went... grew up, all you heard, you didn't get the sound doctrine part. You just got told, if you going over there to the Church of God, you're stupid. If you go into the holiness, you're an idiot. If you go to a Catholic church, you're doomed for hell, right? All that stuff. I decided I wasn't going to do that, but rather give them the Bible and what the Bible says. Done that, but they couldn't handle it. Times come, they could not endure sound doctrine. I was told, "You've offended folks beyond repair." I said, "Well, man, I guess I done something right, huh?" So, we ain't there no more, needless to say, right? And that was just over, you can ask Brittany, I wasn't mean. I mean, I can be mean, I don't like it though. I've only been mean in my preaching maybe once or twice, and I think it was over there once the Lord told me to leave. But, look at here, it don't matter what the doctrine is, there's going to be folks that can't endure it. That was simple stuff. It wasn't walking in and saying your mama went to hell because she was a member of the Church of God church. No, it was saying, hey, there's some doctrine over there that's incorrect. The doctrine of tongues is incorrect. Believing you can lose your salvation, that's incorrect. And here's why, because the Bible says X, Y, and Z. Right? That's sound doctrine. Folks can't endure it. You get up here and they'll be like, "But mama, what? Mama said, well..." Man, I got news for you. If mama was wrong, she's wrong. I'm sorry. My mama's been wrong on a lot of things. And that's just the truth of it. My granny has been wrong a lot more than that. My dad has pastored several churches. And there was a time, I forget where he was at, but somebody, he was having a homecoming or something. Someone come in and commenced to speaking in tongues. And dad got up and he said, "Shut up. Don't do that junk around here." So, that's all it was to it, right? It was, look, you say, "Hey, man, that was harsh." No, it was contrary to good order in the church. They were bringing in bad doctrine. Don't let it creep into the rest of the sheep. "Oh, well, preacher didn't say nothing. Must be all right." You get what I'm saying? Granny said, "He ought not have done that." Still hear about it today. "Your daddy ought not have done all that. There wasn't no call for that. You couldn't hardly hear him." I'm like, "Well, Daddy's about deaf, and if he could hear him, I guarantee you everybody else could. You know what I mean? Like, my goodness. Granny was wrong. I love her. She loves the Lord. Right? I mean, my goodness, I got a Christian heritage. And I can trace it back through her and up to and Granddaddy and on beyond them. Glory to God for them. But there were some things Granny was wrong on. There's some things you got to take a stand over. Right? And Daddy took a stand. She was like, he ought not have done that. Well, yes, he should. Yeah, that was good doctrine what he was practicing right there. Right? Just because Granny said it didn't make it right. I ain't saying Granny's in hell. If she accepted the Lord as her Savior, buddy, she's in glory right now. If your mama accepted the Lord as her Savior, she's in glory. Or she's going to go to glory, right? She can't lose it no matter what she thinks, but it don't mean that because she practices speaking in tongues that it makes it okay. That got brought up recently at another church. Hunter was teaching on speaking in tongues, and I was there. He didn't say anything out the way, right? He just gave the Bible. Somebody decided to stand up and say, well, now, I've been there when it was real. I've seen it when it wasn't and when it was a show, but I've also seen it when it was real. When it was real was when his mama done it. You get what I'm saying? Because mama couldn't have been doing something wrong. Mama got deceived. Doesn't mean she didn't love the Lord. Okay? Doesn't mean that she didn't win souls. I don't know. Maybe she did. But mama was wrong. Sorry. It's just the way it is. But they can't endure sound doctrine because mama took part in bad doctrine. Because Paul took part in bad doctrine. Because the fellow that led me to the Lord took part in bad doctrine. Had a guy one time, and he got convinced that you were going through the Great Tribulation. I went through the Bible. I said, buddy, you ain't going through that. And I turned him, and what was to say was I turned him on to the fellow teaching that, and I didn't know he believed that junk, right? He asked for some help talking to an atheist that believed in evolution. And I said, well, go to this fellow. He's got some great stuff on it. He got to listening. He fell off, went off of that, and he went and talked to the fellow and made headway. And I was like, well, glory to God. And he got to listening to him some more. He got turned on to the King James Bible, and I said, well, amen, glory. That's wonderful. He got mad at me for not telling him about the King James sooner. I said, well, that's a good problem to have, right? And then old boy got off, and the old fellow got to teaching on how you're going through the tribulation. And he said, well, he said it. And I said, that don't mean nothing. If it's wrong, it's wrong. He's right on a whole lot of stuff, but he's wrong on this one. And I took him to the Scripture. I said, the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says the wrath of God is wrought out upon men. We're not going through that. But, buddy, how dare you speak against that brother, you know? Because, he turned me on to the King James Bible. That's great. But what he said other than that was wrong, right? He's great on the evolution stuff, but on that other, buddy, he missed it. Don't get tied up in it. You can find bad doctrine about anywhere, right? I don't doubt that somebody in your church has it here, because that's just everywhere. It ain't nothing against New Hope. It's in every one of them. It's in my church, your church, church down the street, church up the street, everywhere, right? You're going to have somebody with some bad doctrine. Just because they're a lovely lady or a great gentleman and they love the Lord and, buddy, they all about winning souls, that don't mean they can't have something wrong. Right? And that don't mean that you accept it just because they did. You take it to the Bible, and you come to this book, and you say, what does the Bible say? Can I lose my salvation? It says here, I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I guess that answer is a no. Right? It says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. My goodness, I know it. I know I'm sealed. I ain't got to worry about losing it. Glory to God. They wrong, and the book is right. Right? Get to preaching on sin. They say, well, I just don't see how a loving God cast them into hell. Well, the book says, and all the nations that forget God were cast into hell. Right? What about that? And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Sorry, bud, you're wrong. The book's right. Right? It's very simple. What does the Bible say? Not what does Jacob say? I'm bound to error. Because I'm wrapped up in flesh. So are you. But this Bible is not. And we can always revert back to it and find what the truth is and what sound doctrine is. And you can find why it is so important to preach, teach, and stand on sound doctrine. Because Whether you know it or not, maybe there ain't nothing in here right now. Down the road, somebody's going to slip in with some bad stuff. And they're going to sow it. If they're a wolf, they ain't going to walk up to the preacher and tell them what they think. Right? What's his name, Brother Chip? Is that what? They ain't going to walk up and say, "Hey, Brother Chip, look what I got." No, they're going to walk over and they're going to find the weakest sheep they can. The newest convert. They're going to say, "Hey, bud, let me show you something in the Bible." And then that new convert's going to find another a little bit older converts. "Man, look what Brother so-and-so showed me." Next thing you know, Brother Chip's got a problem on his hands because that wolf slipped in and picked on the weak sheep, and the weak sheep spread it to the rest of them. Right? That's why you got to know your Bible and stand on sound doctrine. That way you can say, "Hey, man, ain't nothing to that. This is what the book says." All right, let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you for loving us, dying for us, being so good. I ask that you please bless the service this morning and use it according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.